Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Metallic Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MMG and on the OTCQB under the symbol MMNGF. We are chatting again with the president of Metallic Minerals, Scott Petzl. We are going to be focusing a lot on the La Plata Gold Silver Copper Project in Colorado, as the company did just release the inaugural 43-101 mineral resource estimate. Company also holds the Keno Hill Project, a high-grade gold and silver project in Yukon. Again, starting off with La Plata here, Scott, the initial resource of just short of 1 billion pounds copper equivalent came in at 985 million pounds of copper equivalent. This project's moved forward pretty quickly. The company brought in the project 2019, had some confirmatory drilling and sampling, quickly generated a initial resource, but then this resource really tying together more of the recent work that the company's done. Take us through some of the key highlights of this resource, please, Scott.
Well, let me just tell you, it's great to be here and talk with you guys again and to review this really exciting milestone for the company. You know, almost a billion pounds of copper equivalent is it's a lot of copper. And when you break it down, it's 115 million, close to 116 million tons of material at an average grade of 0.39% copper equivalent, with 0.35% copper and also 4 grams of silver. So it's important not to forget that it's not just copper, but also silver, and brings nearly 15 million ounces of silver to our shareholders.
Well, Scott, we were talking off mic and you had converted the copper equivalent into a silver equivalent. And since I know some people think of Metallic Minerals as a silver forward company, I think it'd be nice to review that, investors, just to kind of give it some context from a silver standpoint.
Well, if you look at this almost billion pounds of copper equivalent and you think of it in terms of a silver equivalent, it's nearly 200 million ounces of silver in equivalent value. And that is equal to the amount of production in the Keno Silver District, historic production, and twice the amount of current reserves and resources held by Alexco in the Keno Silver District. So it's a significant amount of value. We've been very fortunate, as you mentioned early, move this thing fairly quickly from acquisition in 2019 to exploration and confirmatory work over the last few years to get it to a resource stage today. And we're really excited about the future and where we can take this thing.
Scott, let's talk grades too, because the grade of this resource coming in at 0.35% copper and a little over 4 grams per ton silver. Now, this isn't the highest grade, but what can you tell us about the potential economics of this mineralization at this grade?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, it's important to stress that this is really just the opening salvo of our work on the project and was, you know, essentially gifted through to us through a lot of historic work that was limited in scope to claims that were held by those major companies and the work that was done back in the 50s and the 70s by Freeport and Rio Tinto. So, you know, we've taken the 56 holes that they've drilled and that totaled 15,000 meters and applied that confirmatory work, but we see great potential to grow this thing, but also to find new areas of higher grade. But essentially, the grade that exists here is well within, you know, an economic criteria above cutoff for many producing operations. But we envision this as an underground bulk tonnage mineable deposit, and we'll continue to evaluate it in that light as we move forward, and also continue to look at some of the other higher grade opportunities in the narrow vein gold and silver that were historically a focus of production from the late 1800s through the 1940s across the district. So,
well, Scott, I know that a lot of the previous work was kind of vectored in on the Allard target and even the Allard tunnel. But with these porphyry centers. I mean, sometimes they come in clusters and you'll have multiple porphyry centers. So I'm sure there's some other exciting targets you guys have to go after. What's the exploration plan going to look like? Are there any main targets that you have in your sights for 2022?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of our work in the district is going to be focused on expanding this resource. We're still in a really growth stage and an exploration stage where we have done this confirmatory work on the current resource, but we've also applied a lot of these modern technologies, modern exploration technologies across the district, and we have identified up to 16 other potential porphyry centers that could be host to major copper, silver, and gold deposits. But aside from that, again, this historic focus on the narrow vein, high grade gold and silver epithermal style mineralization that is associated and surrounds sort of these porphyry centers is also available to us as an exploration target. And I think that we'll be trying to balance, you know, our approach and exploration on the project to expansion of that resource at the Allard Zone and looking at other new porphyry centers across the project and across the district, and also evaluating some of the higher value targets of high-grade gold and silver.
Okay, so it sounds like it'll be a multi-pronged approach here, growing the resource, but also trying to make some new discoveries. When might we see some drills start turning on the project?
Well, I would expect to see us sometime mid to late summer begin to focus our efforts on drilling. We're planning on starting with some geophysics in June, and that'll help refine some of the targets before we get the drill on the ground.
Well, Scott, just as a reminder to listeners, while there's a lot of excitement around La Plata right now with this resource estimate coming out and near a billion pounds of copper, there's also been some drilling ongoing at your other project, which many people considered the flagship, although I would say you almost have two flagships now. But the Keno Silver Project, you put out some results a couple weeks ago at East Keno, and I'd love you to maybe review some of the drilling that's also ongoing at this other project the company holds.
Yeah, and I think you're right. You know, we could say we've got two flagships now, and it's why we expanded the management team and our recent discussion about, you know, my appointment as president. It gives us the ability to handle a couple of really sizable flagship projects that are going to continue to have significant interest across the sector for, you know, years to come here. So we're excited about the work we've done at Keno as well. And, you know, as we talk back previously, a lot of our work in 2021 was focused on the Keno East targets that were largely underexplored and underconsolidated historically in the district, but contain the same geology that we see across the 33 kilometer wide district. The geology is the same. So we've gone out, we've done the sort of early stage exploration and identified this new source of, or new type of mineralization. It's the epithermal style mineralization, which is typically giving us intervals that are much broader in width and a little bit lower grade, but that could be bulk tonnage style, potentially economic bulk tonnage style mineable targets. And some of those intervals, just to sort of throw it back a little bit, you know, 27.4 meters at 146 grams of silver equivalent. That's largely in contrast with what has been our main focused, typical Keno style veins, high grade silver, lead, zinc veins that'll run oftentimes well over 1,000 grams per ton silver equivalent. But it represents a new target style for us and one that we're continuing to pursue, one that we'll see some more drilling efforts coming in the 2022 field season, as well as our focus in the Keno West and Central areas on the Formo and Caribou targets, where we're looking to advance those more to resource stage developments.
So Scott, looking at that news release outlining those drill results, in figure one, the company also has the map here that shows the project, just how close it is to the Alexco project. But it also highlights a lot of drill targets. You just went through a couple of the main focuses, but how are you guys going to be going about ranking all these targets that are within this figure?
Well, it's a tough task because there are so many. And, you know, we have to sort of continue to look at both grade and scale and mineability and all those issues and go through systematically and apply the modern exploration tools that we have at our disposal to help sort and re-rank deposits as we address them.
Well, Scott, you mentioned it in a previous answer here that, you know, you've got more of the bulk tonnage style of silver at Keno in addition to the typical Keno Hill high grade targets. How do you want investors to think about the Keno Silver Project? Because it almost seems like it has a dual nature. You've got the high grade like your neighbors at Alexco. Those are more narrow veins, but you've also got all these new targets you'd mentioned with the bulk tonnage style. Would it be two different mining methods, or if you started trying to wrap your head around it in an economic sense, would it be two different approaches as how you would mill it? You know, how do you want investors to think about the Keno Silver Project?
Well, I like to have them think about it as opportunity. So, you know, we're looking at under our control nearly half of the district in a brownfield state with a operating property right next door and a mill available to us for, you know, for processing of any resources that become mineable in the future. And so what we have is the opportunity to continue to apply exploration in a largely underexplored part of the district and make new discoveries and, you know, continue to work on these targets that we've already defined to get to resource stage. So it's not necessarily a duality, but a broader opportunity for us to really hone in and find of our plethora of opportunities, the best one that's going to provide the most value for our shareholders.
Okay, so Scott, before we wrap it up here, just summarize what the catalysts are going to be here moving forward from both of the projects in terms of what investors can look forward to news flow-wise, please.
Yes, sir. So we'll be announcing our 2022 field programs soon. We're looking at still releasing some new results from our West Keno target, particularly drilling that was done in 2021 at our Formo target area. And then that's really going to be it in the short term, but I'd like to go back and just recap on La Plata, you know, 985 million pounds of copper equivalent in Southwest Colorado in an underappreciated district that hasn't seen any modern work in over 50 years. We have a significant portion of that district. We have significant targets left to be explored, both as porphyry centers and also as narrow high-grade gold and silver veins. And we could call these, you know, essentially call them electric metals, right? So we have gold, silver, and copper that are nature's best conductors. But let's not overlook the fact that in 2021, we resampled some historic drill core and found significant intervals of platinum and palladium associated with the Copper Hill target, which is nearby the Allard resource. Historically, telluride minerals were also a byproduct of the narrow vein silver and gold production. So we've got some of these things that have been found on the critical minerals list in the U.S., and opportunity at La Plata is, you know, we're still in the early stages of growth, exploration, and value creation there. And it's going to be exciting to see where we can take this project.
All right. Well, Scott, I appreciate the update here. Just as another note, the company is hosting a webinar tomorrow. We will post a link below this interview, so all of you who are interested can sign up for that webinar and tune in live as you get some more information on this resource, and I assume information just more broadly across the company as well. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Scott regarding the resource at La Plata, or any of the work also going on at Keno Hill, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. In full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Metallic Minerals, and we will be following up as more news hits the market. Scott, thanks again for your time. Keep us up to date on future news, please.
Thank you very much.